Hey, everybody, it's 6 past the hour, and this is Indirect Democracy. This week on Indirect Democracy, my inner conservative is unleashed. Plus, we have the global warming update, the president's horoscope, a new sponsor, and the What a Weenie Award. And welcome. Welcome to podcast number 22 of Indirect Democracy, found at www.indirectdemocracy.com. I am your host. My name is David. And thank you for joining me for podcast number 22. This one really is going to be a short one, plus going to do some strange little editing here and there. There's not going to be too much I'm going to be talking about that's important because I'm getting over a cold and still feeling some of the effects. So I just wanted to share some little things with you this week. The global warming updates I thought was important to get out. Plus, the What a Weenie Award seems timely for this week. Wanted to also make sure that got out before it's old news before next week. So forgive me if you hear any little coughing sounds or strange edits, because I'm going to try to edit out any sounds to show for my cold. And if my voice is coming across, then that is to the effect as well. I've come to a point now where I actually don't want to take any more medicine, even though I'm still taking little bits of cough medicine. I'm just tired of medicine and soup and juices. So today's treatment is Dr. Pepper and Red Vines, which is crazy delicious, as I think that little skit by Andy Samberg said. But I really got too tired of doing the other stuff, being the healthy guy, taking the juices and, you know, the echinacea and trying to be, you know, somewhat holistic and still take medications because I wasn't sleeping. And I'm going to get into that later on. But I just I had to break down and start eating a little bit of junk food because felt like I was going crazy not enjoying the little things I want to enjoy. Before I begin with anything, I would like to say that, as always, Indirect Democracy is a proud member of the Progressive Podcast Network. I encourage you to go to their site, which is at progressivepodcastnetwork.org, and join their forum and blog sites, which you can find at newmediarevolutionaries.com. Let's see, as well, of course, I would like to start plugging another podcast, which is not part of the Progressive Podcast Network, but is called the 24 Weekly Debriefing, which is done by Kristen Barrick. You've heard me mention Kristen before on the who does a Grand National Championship on Free Radio SAIC, but she also does a weekly podcast talking about the TV show 24. And progressive or not, I don't, you know, I know a lot of people don't like to watch it because they call it a conservative dream show. I get a big kick out of the show, and so does Kristen, who's a great progressive liberal out there. But when she does her debriefing of the show, it's all the good stuff. It's all the fun stuff. All those questions that you have going, that doesn't make sense. How is that possible? Well, she just sort of blows it aside and has fun with it, jokes with it. It's a great podcast. You can find that at 24.podomatic.com. That's spell out the 24. And if you can, also, if you can't find it there, you can go to the website for Indirect Democracy, and I will have a link in there in the favorite links section for the 24 Weekly Debriefing. So go and listen to that. It's great stuff. But where would I be if I did not begin this week's show with the global warming update? This week's global warming update is entitled the $25 million Earth Challenge. And it goes as such. Gore seeks technical solutions for a few inconvenient truths. Former Vice President Al Gore joined airline tycoon Richard Branson today to announce a $25 million prize to the first person to come up with a way of scrubbing greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere in the battle to beat global warming. Today, he joined Richard Branson, the British magnate, adventurer, and now eco-entrepreneur, in announcing the Virgin Earth Challenge, a $25 million bounty Mr. Branson is offering for any scientist or team who can figure out a way to pull the most significant heat-trapping gas, carbon dioxide, directly out of the air. Mr. Gore said he would be one of five judges helping Mr. Branson choose a winner. An initial $5 million would be awarded to the most promising design. The full award would come once the design proved viable and worked for at least 10 years without any harmful secondary environmental effects. You know, after reading this, I'm sorry to say that I will be giving up this podcast to try to get that $25 million award of money. I am going to work very hard to get Fox News off the air because I believe that they are the greatest contributor to carbon dioxide and hot air going out into the atmosphere. So I will be ending this podcast shortly thereafterwards to go seek out this $25 million. Kidding. Like I could do that. Okay, now that we've given you the global warming update, of course, it is time to give out this week's presidential horoscope. And as we know, our president is in fact a Cancer. To help him along the way, here is his weekly presidential horoscope from the pages of Elle magazine. And for the week of February 12th through the 18th, here it is. His career meter reading this week is an 8. Early this week, a new version of a plan or contract will be floated past you. It won't be correct or adequate, so don't agree to do it. No matter how weary you are of negotiating with temperamental or dishonest people. The whole purpose of the drama and trauma you've struggled with has been to wear you down and tip you over. I'm positive Dick Cheney wrote out this week's horoscope for him to try to say, no, don't listen. No, not the... It's like, not that. Not what the ISG is saying. Not the Iraq Study Group. Don't listen to the Democrats. Ooh, bad. Spooky. Okay, sorry. I've gone too far. Don't let this happen. You still have plenty of strength in your body and spirit to keep you going. Which explains that crappy press conference. All you need to do is something you're remarkably good at. Oh my God, what is he remarkably good at? Running a baseball team? No. Trade to Sammy Sosa. That didn't work. Finding oil in Texas or in the Middle East? Nope. Had a bad time with that too. He's not good with that either. Okay. Running a successful business? Nope, never done that. What is the man good at? I'm sure there's something he's good at. Okay, but hang on for 3 more weeks while your experts and advisors work out acceptable arrangements. Don't be surprised if you get a surprise message or call late in the week with a final offer or best deal yet. Your best response is not to... your best response is to not respond. He does that, so that works out well for him. That's what your experts and advisors are being paid to do. This week's touchstones are aquamarine and blue topaz. So there you go, Mr. President. That was your horoscope for this past week, and surprisingly accurate as written to you by the from the pages of Elle magazine and on Positive by Vice President Richard Cheney. And now, here's an ad from the Progressive Podcast Network.
The President of the United States.
Me and Vice President Cheney, members of Congress, members of the Supreme Court, bring murder and destruction to our country. America is addicted to oil. America depends on it.
As the Bush regime continues its war on democracy, log on to thewarondemocracy.com to find out what you can do to fight back.
thewarondemocracy.com.
Before I get into unleashing my inner conservative, I would encourage you to listen to The War on Democracy. Okay, what I'm about to do, I realize a lot of people who are Morning Sedition fans will be a little upset about or even think is a ripoff. But I have to tell you this because it goes to show what a cold can do to a person. But it's also a little bit of an ode and a tribute to my inner conservative. In being sick this week, the worst part of it, or the worst experience of it all, was for the first part of the week, I was unable to sleep. I don't know, it's just that weird kind of, you know, sleep where you're knocked out for about 20 minutes and all of a sudden your sinuses sort of wake you up and it destroys your ability to sleep. So I was having a hard time getting any sleep, and I felt that after about 2 to 3 nights of it, I had to resort to desperate measures, which meant NyQuil. And now, NyQuil will blessedly knock you out, but it seems to also cause some of the most bizarre of dreams. And, you know, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, for me, what I dread mostly about my NyQuil dreams is that I know it's going to basically unleash my inner conservative. Now, to ensure that the NyQuil would work, I sort of committed myself to the NyQuil and my version of the American Idol drinking game. So what I did was I placed a shot glass next to my bottle of cherry-flavored NyQuil, and I'm not going to drink that green stuff, it's repellent. And I waited and watched American Idol and waited for Paula Abdul to basically do her thing. Every time she did that bizarre upward arm clap and said to a contestant, "You've made that song your own, you really brought that song to life," but anytime she did that overly emotional thing, I was going to do a shot of NyQuil. And I figured, hell, if she can sit through Idol drunk, so could I. Well, by 8:43 p.m., I was feeling the Abdul kind of love for those karaoke wannabes, and I began to bitch about how Bo Bice was robbed a couple years ago. The final tally was NyQuil 3 and me 0. I stumbled to bed and awaited the dream. The next thing I knew, I was sitting on the couch over at the Tonight Show. I was off to the left, which meant I had already been interviewed or I was just observing in this dream. I was just thankful I didn't have to listen to Jay's opening monologue. Then all of a sudden, Jay invited his next guest on, and it turned out to be Senator Hillary Clinton. She sat down next to me as this chill took over my body. Now, I sat there listening to her equivocate about her stance on the Iraq War, and I became incensed. I mean, how could she lie in such a manner? How could she say she would not have voted for it if she knew then what she knows now? It was horrifying for me to listen to in my own dream. After feeling the anger and the cold sort of take me over, just then, someone handed me a Hagel and 08 button. You know, I slapped it on immediately and started screaming to her, "Liar! Liar! You two-faced liar!" Just then, I looked over to my side. I heard a voice say, "You tell her! You tell her!" It was the person that handed me the Hagel and 08 button. But it wasn't some stranger. It was me. 18-year-old David, wearing a Bush Quail and 88 button and sporting the unfortunate cholo mullet. And all the while, he's egging me on. I keep hearing him saying, "Expose her liberal lies!" I can feel him pushing me on to expose her as a fraud. You know, my screams are getting louder and louder, and somehow it keeps getting colder and colder. And then just then, the crowd begins to chime in. And as the crowd starts to chime in, "Liar! Liar!" Hillary's face takes on that scowl that only Bill Clinton could have ever known, you know, like after he told her about Monica. But I started to feel this satisfaction in this, but it was short-lived. For in this chant and this feeling that was building up in the crowd, you know, I saw Senator Clinton turn to me and she grunted, "Rawr!" like some type of beast out of a movie. And she just sort of hunked over and menacingly just looked at me and growled and then began to flee out of the Tonight Show studios. And when she did this, I began to give chase. And as I chased her, I realized that we were at the top of a mountain covered with snow and Hillary needed to get away. So what she did was she climbed on top of something and began to ride it down the mountain. I looked to see, as she was speeding down the mountain, that she was using the body of Vince Foster as a sled. Just then, my Republican alter ego, who hadn't left my side, said to me, "Quick, get on top of me and ride me down the mountain." So I figured it's not the first time a conservative Republican has ever said that to another man. So I figured, okay, I got on top of his back and chased Hillary down the mountain. My alter ego just kept screaming out, "Throw these in front of her!" I looked down, and it was videotapes of the old Wally George show. Now, if you don't know who Wally George was, he was an Orange County icon and a hardcore conservative. He had this talk show on UHF channels, and that was it. He was famous for being this hard-ass conservative that you could only watch on UHF. But he was legend in Orange County in the 80s. So I grabbed the first videotape, and I threw it, and when it hit the ground, the snow melted to reveal the ground below. Now, obviously, this was some type of global warming thing, but I couldn't care less. I had to stop Hillary. So I keep throwing and throwing, missing every attempt to get one of these tapes in front of her so it'll melt the snow and cause her Vince Foster sled to crash and force her to stop. It just keeps getting colder and colder. And I'm now becoming concerned, like this liberal part of me is starting to edge out. And I'm concerned about my alter ego freezing to death. And I scream out to him, "Aren't you cold?" And with this great certainty in this voice, he replied back to me, "No, I have the Second Amendment to keep me warm." But I realized that my liberal tendencies at that moment kept me from catching up to Hillary, and when I looked up, I realized that the snow and the sleet and the white had overtaken, and Hillary got away. And it was at that moment that I realized that the reason I was cold was because I'd kicked off all the blankets. so shuddering from the cold and from the dream, I went to the fridge and poured myself a glass of carrot juice. And that was my inner conservative dream. So somewhat as a coincidence, it was no surprise to me that Hillary Clinton came out this week and called Iran the greatest threat to this country. No surprise her hawkish stance, and if you are supporting Hillary still, I really encourage you to think a second time about it, because she is playing up the same old lines that were said before. Just my opinion. On a different note, I would like to promote an independent band and artist. This band is Boy Howdy, and the lead singer is Will Dunlap. And I was introduced to his music through the MySpace page. He sent me a link and had a chance to listen to his music, and he was kind enough to allow me permission to use one of his songs. So I would like to introduce you to the song Righteous Fool by Boy Howdy. Enjoy, and I will give you all the links to find his music later on in the show.
Many years, yes, I've been a fool through heartbreaks and tears. Come to grips with reality, but I can't let you go. I gotta let you know, you mean that much to me. Washed away all my fears, but this fool sees nothing clear. You captured my heart with your smile, your flowing hair. The touch of my love will forever miss, because you won't be there. I was a righteous fool. I never opened up. Never change. A righteous fool. A righteous fool. Just
Okay, once again, that song was called Righteous Fool by Boy Howdy. I encourage you to go to their site. You can find their music at www.myspace.com/countrygrunge. I'll have that link up on the homepage for Indirect Democracy. Well, as you know, it's time to pay the bills, and unfortunately, our newest sponsor's ad comes out in conjunction around the time of the recent astronaut arrest. So, without further ado, and with unfortunate timing recognized, but still having to play the ad, here is this word from our newest sponsor.
Hi, kids. My name is Colonel Bob, Air Force pilot and astronaut. Up in space, or even down here on Earth, nothing brightens and fills my day with vitamin C like good old-fashioned Tang orange-flavored drink. One glass of Tang gives me about 5% of my daily dose of vitamin C. Yep, that's why I have to drink 20 glasses a day. Delish. Yep, there's nothing like Tang. And when I reach a sugar-infused and vitamin-packed energy boost, well, at times I've been known to kill. And only when I crash from that sugar high do I realize what to do. I use rich orange-flavored Tang and hydrochloric acid to destroy the evidence and blame it on my ex-lover. Man, do I love Tang. Some people call it what the astronauts drink. I say, in the morning, at lunch, and at night, give me some Tang. Rich orange Tang. Available at a store near you.
Okay, it's time to give out this week's What a Weenie Award. And this week's What a Weenie Award causes me a little pain because I'm a big fan of this man's show. But on February 13th, 2007, Ed Schultz began his three-hour radio show by going off on a tirade against Air America Radio. The tirade was caused by a listener's email stating that Sam Cedar on his radio show called for listeners to call XM Radio to have it run all of Air America's programming and not Ed's show.
With that said, I'm listening to the Sam Cedar show on XM, and he's telling his listeners to call XM and complain that you are going to be filling the noon to 3 p.m. slot. So there's an Air America host out there that is encouraging XM or his listeners to call XM and complain that Ed's going on to XM. Gosh, they're such team players over there at Air America, aren't they? They're just wonderful people. You know what? I think all of you loyal listeners to the Ed Schultz Show and who listen to Stephanie Miller and Bill Press, I think you ought to call XM and tell them to get that Air America crap off the air and put on some better programs like the Stephanie Miller Show and the Bill Press Show.
Well, the caller mentioned that he had heard what Sam Cedar had said on February 12th. Well, I listened to all of Sam Cedar's show again, and here's what he did say on February 12th.
Folks, one thing I wanted to mention, that with Al's leaving, you will be getting the exceptional opportunity to hear Tom Hartman, who is one of the most intelligent guys you will ever hear on radio. And if you're not going to get Tom Hartman, make sure you contact your local affiliate, whether it's in your local hometown or whether it's XM Radio. You want that full day of Air America programming. It tastes so much better that way. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
To drink beer. I like to cook. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I got kids. I got grandkids. It's not Air America.
Who the hell is Air America? They have never sold anything or done anything positive for anybody except tear people down. No wonder O'Reilly makes fun of them. No wonder you know what? When I read an email like this and I hear this kind of stuff, it makes me think that what the conservatives say about liberal talk radio is the truth. That they just haven't gotten it over there. All they've done is confuse the audience, confuse the people, do a bunch of hate merchant stuff of people in their own flock. And I don't know where the upside is anymore. I really don't.
During this one-hour rant that Ed Schultz went on, he talked a lot about the business failings of Air America Radio. And I'm not going to disagree with Ed on how poorly Air America Radio has run its business. That's public knowledge that they managed the business into bankruptcy. It's also public knowledge that they ran off great talent in people like Mark Maron, Mike Malloy, and Janine Garofalo. The show formats at Air America lacks entertainment value. But Air America Radio has an important place in radio. It truly helps cement the format of progressive radio. So in listening to Ed Schultz, I think I must have missed something. What is so shocking about having a radio personality for another company campaign to have its station get business over another company? It sounds like common practice to me. But I do understand Ed's anger over the constant criticism he gets for not being left enough. He gets that all the time. He's not liberal enough for the left and too left for the right. I also get that he must be tired of constantly being linked to Air America Radio, even though he is part of Jones Radio. I like that he still has some moderate tendencies, because so much of the country is like that. I like that he talks about hunting and sports, because basically man cannot live on politics alone, and it helps him connect with a part of his audience. I do believe that he has a great show, and he can get some of the biggest newsmakers onto his show. But admiration aside, he finally flipped his lid this past week with Air America. For a full hour, he went off, and here's a sample of what he had to say.
Business people, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm here in Minneapolis.
I don't care where you are. Well, I'm telling you they suck.
Okay, that could be, but let's hear the other side.
There is no other side.
Well, you won't let me.
You know what the side is that you need to know about, sir? They have spent $40 million. You know what, fellas, you know what we could do with $40 million? We could have a G5. we could each have a Cessna Citation, and we could still run this show. But that's okay. But that's okay. I just want you to know what kind of people they are. That's why they're $40 million in the hole. Listen to Air America. They don't cross-promote. They're not good people. They're unscrupulous business people. They give liberals a bad name in the business community. And I think if you've given money to Air America, you're an idiot too. Because they don't deserve it. This is no way to run a railroad. And if they're going to campaign, I'm going to give it right back to them. I'm going to give it right back to them.
Well, it's about time that we did
In
something.
In fact, if you listen to Air America, I don't want you to listen to the Ed Schultz show, because I'm better than them. And when I get on the issues and I get in front of crowds, I have spoken to crowds all over this country about the passionate issues. And anybody out there who has ever seen Ed Schultz stand up on the stump for the working folk and the union people of America, you know exactly who I am. Joe in Minneapolis, you're on with us. Hello.
Hey, Ed. Say, I think I'm a little late with the phone call, but I think you're making a bad choice going over to XM.
No, I'm not making a bad choice going over to XM. I'm proud to be on XM. XM's great. Sirius is great. We're going to take any kind of coverage we can get of this radio show. Why in the world would I not want to be on XM or Sirius or anybody else for that matter? I don't understand your logic on that.
Give me a chance. I just think you're going to be losing a lot of fans, you know.
I'm not going to lose fans. I'm never going to lose fans, because I am the truth. I let you on without screening you.
You have to listen to that. I almost feel like I have nothing more to say to that. But there were two things that really threw me about that. The first was when he told people that are Air America listeners to stop listening to his show. Now, I like to listen to as many varied opinions and commentaries as possible. To me, not one person's opinion is totally right. So I listen to them all to help strengthen my own opinion. But if he wants to lose the audience that he loves, really, Ed, don't take your anger out on us. The second thing was telling his audience that I am the truth. Wow, Ed, really, it is time to step back from the mic and get over yourself very fast. You may have the number one progressive talk show, but it is obviously made your head grow way beyond the message. And the message is more important than you. Ed, for all of us, find that guy in you that first started his show and hope to help change minds and spread a message of change to this country. Because you are teetering into the world of egotistic blowhards who dominate radio and make the message about themselves and not the news. Because this week, you sounded like a big weenie. So the record is clear. I actually emailed Ed Schultz to let him know my opinions about this because I was really disappointed in how his show went that week. I do believe that he has a good show. He does have the goods and gets on some of the best newsmakers onto his program. But I just thought that he needed to be criticized in some way, shape, or form about the fashion in which his show is starting to form. And I'm not telling you to stop listening to him. If you do listen to him, I think he's got a great show. If he's not liberal enough for you, well, hey, you know what? That's fine. If he's too conservative for you, well, then at least find different arguments. At least he's getting a message across, and that's the most important thing. But when people like that get way too far in themselves, you do have to tell them to bring it down and say, get back on point. I hope that Ed does very soon. Let's see. That's pretty much going to be it for this week's edition of Indirect Democracy. I apologize about there not being any real serious topics. I know you're being inundated with stories like Britney Spears having her head shaved and the astronaut story. And, of course, Anna Nicole Smith at death and the daughter's inheritance and the $454 million she's supposed to get. Huh. $454 million. I would like to announce that after this podcast, I will be ending this podcast as I plan to establish my paternity of the Anna Nicole Smith baby and get my hands on $454 million. Whee! But I do thank you for taking the time to listen to Indirect Democracy. I also thank you for going to the homepage and joining on the Frapper map. I really do like that. I'm getting a big kick out of it. To everybody throughout the entire globe who's clicked on as a visitor, I'm always waving hi to everybody there, but I'm really, really glad to see it. It's just nice to connect with all of you, so thank you for being a part and listening. As always, I would like to thank Matt Bloodwell and the guys at Megaphone for allowing me to use their music, Not Your Enemy, as the music for this podcast. You can find their music through www.megaphonemusic.net or through their MySpace page at myspace.com/megaphone. You can also download the album For Crying Out Loud through iTunes. You can purchase it that way. And I do encourage you to support all independent artists, Megaphone, Bob Mouse, Boy Howdy, be part, enjoy, listen to their music. But that'll be it for this week's edition of Indirect Democracy. If you'd like to send me any comments or questions, you can do so one of two ways now. You can write me at david@indirectdemocracy.com, or you can call me at the new audio comment line at area code 206-339-4797. And any comments that are sent in will be played on the podcast, so thank you very much ahead of time. Once again, please visit the homepage for Indirect Democracy. I thank you for being there. I'm going to get back to my Dr. Pepper and Red Vines. But take care of yourselves. I'll see you soon. Bye for now. Asla Kasnam.